Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
In God's salvation, there is no room for man to boast in himself. So God, in his wisdom, renders all our human wisdom mere folly in Christ, while at the same time, he himself becomes wisdom and strength and status to all those who have been called. Listen to Paul's writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. "For consider your calling, brothers, that there are not many wise according to the flesh, not many powerful, not many well-born. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world, that he might shame those who are wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world, that he might shame the things that are strong. And the low-born things of the world and the despised things God has chosen, things which are not, that he might bring to naught the things which are, so that no flesh may boast before God." Dick Taylor has joined us as we fellowship today on our calling and Christ becoming wisdom to us. Dick, welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much, Chris. And it's so good that on this program, we certainly can realize we do not boast in the flesh. We boast only in Christ.
This is a really remarkable passage, isn't it, Dick, where the Lord, through Paul, I guess I should say, is contrasting the foolish things of the world and the wise things of the world and how that all gets turned upside down in Christ and in God's salvation. We'll see a lot today, won't we, about God really in his wisdom.
We surely will. What a blessing to be those who are in Christ. It turns everything around.
Dick, why don't we just join Witness Lee with our first portion today, then we'll get back to fellowship about these points. And again, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 30 today. Before we're finished, here's Witness Lee.
The verses from 26 through 31. "For you see your calling, brothers, there are not many wise, not many powerful persons, not many well-born ones. These are actually virtues of a human being. If you don't have a wise mind and a strong will and a high status, you're just nothing. But here Paul says, we the called ones, not many are wise, not many are powerful, not many are well-born. Verse 27, "But God has chosen the foolish that he might shame the wise." What is this? The loving God does this. "And God has chosen the weak of the world that he might shame the strong." God chosen the low class that he might shame the high class. Now, some of the Greeks were saved, yet they might still consider themselves so wise. Then Paul here indicates that they were wrong. God has never chosen any wise one. As long as you consider you are wise, that means you have not been chosen. How about this? Are you wise or foolish? You have to bow down. "Lord, forgive me. I'm not wise, but foolish. Thank you that, Lord, you have created me foolish." Have you thanked the Lord this week? "Thank you, Lord. You have created me weak. Thank you. You have sent me to this world through a low family, not a high family." The spirit of Paul in writing this epistle is to put all the healthy Greek believers down, to make them so small. Some among them, speaking the truth, might be quite smart. But Paul would not recognize that. God has chosen you. And these divine choosing. It's a strong proof that you are not wise. You are just foolish. However, I don't think I can write such two verses.
Once again, his approach, as he has reminded us many times, Dick, in this life study, is that the key to understanding these books is to get into the spirit of the writer, to really identify where Paul is at, who he's writing to, what he's coming from, and what's in his heart here. And that opens up a lot about these verses, because as we've talked before, Corinth was a very cultured, very educated city, and many of the believers there, even though they were in a very poor condition, as we see throughout this book, humanly, they looked quite good. There were certainly wise ones among them, philosophers and probably some of the higher class of people of that cultured and high class city were there. Yet Paul is really doing a wonderful leveling work here, isn't he?
He really is doing a leveling work and making it very clear that apart from being in Christ, we are nothing. And only in Christ are we strong. Only in Christ are we wise. Only in Christ are we well-born. We need to take the stand. We're foolish, we're weak, and we're low-born. Then Christ is available to us, and Christ is made real to us. I appreciated a verse from James 4:6. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I was just thinking what our brother mentioned. He said, the Lord puts the haughty believers down. So there were so many haughty believers in Corinth, and even today we might be one of those. May we be those who humble ourselves, realizing God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Only in Christ are we well-born, strong, and wise. So we need to be those who turn our heart to the Lord all the time, opening to Him, thanking Him that we in ourselves are weak and are foolish and are low-born, but in Christ we could be strong, wise, and well-born. And I was just thinking of a story that I've told a number of times, Chris, where some brothers from one country went to Nicaragua and they visited there. Eventually they were asked to visit some new believers. And these brothers were economically okay and dressed with nice clothing and white shirt and tie, and they got in the back of a pickup truck and were taken on these dirt roads across creek beds and through sugar cane fields, and then told, we're going to meet a new sister, a new believer. So they came to this place, and it was just one big cardboard house with a little door in the front, and they looked in there, and there was a sheet hanging on a string dividing the cardboard house into two, and they could see some bare feet on the other side. And the sheet moved, and this little sister with a tattered dress and no shoes comes out to the door, and she just says, "Praise the Lord, brothers. The Lord is rich to all who call on Him." The brothers felt like digging a hole and climbing in. And they realized that we really need to be those who are just in ourselves weak, foolish, lowborn, always open to the Lord. Then genuinely you're rich, wise, well-born, and strong. So praise the Lord for our actual status in Christ, and also a recognition of what we are not outside of Christ. So may the Lord give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation to realize how precious it is to be in Christ, and apart from Christ, we're nothing.
You know, Dick, I think I really love that story. I've heard it a couple of times, and I could hear it many more times, because that story in itself has the effect of humbling all of us, doesn't it?
It surely does.
And that sister was the rich one that day.
She was rich.
You know, I think that Paul is saying something here in these verses that probably many, if not most of us, can identify with to some extent. I remember after I really received the Lord and began to freely profess my faith and talk to everyone I know, and these ones who knew me, you know, they'd give you that kind of quizzical look like, what in the world have you done? Like you had just done the most foolish thing in the universe.
Right, right.
And to the world's eyes, all of this is foolishness, isn't it?
That's right. Chris, not only your experience, but I was just thinking, my experience, also we think of the Apostle Paul.
Yeah.
You know, before he was Paul, he was Saul, quote unquote, big Saul.
Yeah.
But then when he was converted, his name was Paul, which means little.
Isn't that
he realized that he's just a foolish one, a weak one, a low-born one, and he needs Christ. And in Christ, he's wise, he's strong, he's well-born.
Dick, we're going to come to another verse now in sequence here in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians. and we get to verse 30. But now I think it's important that we see it, and I have to admit, as I was preparing for this program today, it really struck me, the context. I've always loved this verse, 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became wisdom to us from God.
Amen.
Of course, there's a second part of the verse we'll get to in a few minutes. But, you know, being in Christ is in the context. Now it's a contrast, isn't it, to this, what Paul has just said before about God choosing the foolish things and the
right.
weak things.
Mm-hmm.
So the wisdom is really reserved for Christ himself.
Amen. And Christ himself is that wisdom.
Yes, he is. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
We come to verse 30. But of him you are in Christ. See, but brings in a contrast. Actually, in the flesh you are strong. In Christ you are weak. In your Christian life, there's not such a but. In verse 30, Paul puts in but of him you are in Christ.
Amen.
You were born foolish, but now you are in Christ. It is of God that you are in Christ. In Christ, such a phrase implies three things according to context. In Christ, you are wise. In Christ, you are strong. In Christ, you are well-born. The regeneration is always a high birth. I am a child not only of the King, but of the King of Kings.
Amen.
I'm born into God's family.
Amen.
I'm born into God's home. How good it is that God is choosing us. Foolish, weak, low-born. But today we are in Christ.
Amen.
We are in Christ. This is not of you, neither of your pastor, but of God. But of God, you are in Christ. You are in Christ. You have to boast of this, that you are in Christ. No foolish person will be in Christ. I'm in Christ, so I'm not foolish. How about you? Are you weak or strong? Are you all strong? In Christ, right. But of God are you in Christ. Hallelujah.
Dick, I couldn't help listening to that, but thinking back to the sister in the cardboard box house.
That's right.
She was the daughter of the King, wasn't she?
She really was the daughter of the King, and only in him are you genuinely rich.
You can see an application of all these three points when you hear such a story. She may have looked poor and foolish and lowly, but in reality she was strong and rich, and how could you be of a higher status than to be born of the King?
That's right. Praise the Lord. We're born of the King. We're the King's children. We live in the King's house. Apparently it was cardboard. Actually, she was living in the King and in his house.
Wow.
Chris, this phrase, in Christ, is a precious phrase, indicating that apart from being in Christ, we are nothing. But this ministry makes it clear that in God's economy, nothing counts except Christ. And message after message, day after day, as you listen to the radio or you read some of the life study messages, you realize nothing counts in God's economy except Christ. Matthew 17, the Lord made it very clear that it's not Moses and Elijah, but he made it very clear that my son is my delight. He is my joy. Hear him. Nothing counts in God's economy except Christ. So only in Christ are we wise, are we strong, and are we well-born. I was thinking of another case, Chris, of John chapter 4.
Oh, yeah.
Here the Lord
right.
unveils the highest revelation of himself as the life that could be drunk as the living water, thus producing the totality of life, which is the New Jerusalem. Who does he reveal this high revelation to? Highest revelation to the lowest woman, an immoral woman. But here is a woman who in Christ becomes wise, strong, well-born, and a genuine worshiper of God.
Wow.
And who becomes a constituent of the New Jerusalem. This is awesome. So only in Christ are we anything, because only Christ counts in God's economy. And I believe we've sung this song many times, but isn't that song good, Chris? All in all forever, only Christ I'll sing. Everything is in Christ, and Christ is everything. Or apart from him, we are nothing. Hallelujah for this phrase, in Christ.
The Apostle Paul, Dick, says in Philippians that everything that he had achieved outside of Christ before, what, he just counted it as refuse or even dung.
That's right.
Worse than refuse, worse than garbage.
That's right.
So that really illustrates he lived in this kind of reality, this realization. He realized his standing and all of the accomplishments of his life before he was in Christ really had no value.
That's true.
And we need to have our appreciation recalibrated to how God appreciates and how God values. And again, this sister in Nicaragua, really the rich one.
That's right.
The highest born.
And then isn't it a joy, Chris, to meet those who are very well-educated, very accomplished, and yet they humble themselves.
They humble themselves.
They're open, they're poor in spirit, realizing that apart from being in Christ, we're nothing.
Boy, that is a real testimony, Dick, and there are so many that could claim something to boast of that are in the body of Christ, because the Lord certainly has called all manner of people from the earthly society, but his wisdom makes all of our accomplishments foolishness, and his strength makes all of our strength weak.
Amen.
Right? And regardless of what standing we have, we realize that only in him are we well born. This is the body of Christ, isn't it?
That's right. Amen. Hallelujah for the body of Christ.
Dick, verse 30, I want to read it again, this time add part B, the second half to the verse, and I want to draw our listeners' attention to one word which perhaps they may not have paid attention to in previous readings of this verse. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became wisdom to us from God, both righteousness and sanctification and redemption. It doesn't say Christ who is wisdom to us, but who became wisdom to us.
Amen.
Let's find out about that in this coming portion with Witness Lee.
This Christ, in whom now we are, became wisdom to us from God. This little word became here means a lot. I am your friend, this is one thing. And I become your friend, this is another thing. Christ, you see, he was never wisdom to us. Why? Because you were never in him. When you believed in him, then God put you into him. That makes Christ to become your wisdom. Christ was not wisdom to us because we were not in him. Once we got in him, he became our wisdom. He became wisdom to us. Paul was very careful. Christ became wisdom to us. This means something different from Christ being our wisdom. This kind of expression, to us from God, indicates not just a kind of doctrine. No. It indicates something present, practical, experiential, going on. Christ has to become wisdom to you from God all the time. I like this phrase, to you from God. To you from God. Then you have to say, to me from God. To me from God. This indicates something is going on. Like electricity. To the building from the power plant. There's a current, right? The current going on to the building from the power plant. To and from. Something going on, something practical, something living, something so present. Paul wrote in this way, indicating that you Greek believers in Corinth should remember that Christ is the wisdom from God going on to you. He is the wisdom. Through you. to you from God.
Dick, when I first heard this, I actually went back and listened to it a couple of times because I wanted to make sure I got it. Kind of dawned on me what he's saying here. This is not a doctrinal statement that Christ is our wisdom.
Absolutely not.
But this is a living reality. As we experience this divine flow, he becomes wisdom and all of the other items included, which we should talk about also as well, the righteousness, the sanctification, and redemption, doesn't he?
He really does. And when I was listening, Chris, to our brother speaking, I just thought, this is liquid wisdom.
Yeah.
This is flowing wisdom. This is present wisdom.
Right.
This is experiential wisdom. This is subjective wisdom. This is enjoyable wisdom that we can experience right now because he became wisdom to us from God. And this is something that's happening all the time. I appreciate the fact that this verse really shows a lot, that Christ is wisdom to us in three ways. Number one, three acts of his salvation are really revealed here.
Mm-hmm.
And that is by regenerating us, he became the righteousness in our spirit.
That's right.
And by his sanctifying us right this moment, he becomes the sanctification in our soul. And by his eventual glorifying us, we are made him in life and nature for his testimony in a complete way, spirit, soul, and body. We become the same as him. So it covers three acts of salvation, three parts of our being, and three periods of time.
Wow.
And we're in this period of time right now, which is called the present, right? And we have to say a million zillion hallelujahs because this Christ, who is wisdom to us from God, is the life-giving spirit, also revealed in 1 Corinthians. And that means that we are presently, moment by moment, able to experience him and enjoy him. And like you said, Chris, this is not doctrinal wisdom. This is not a doctrinal Christ. This is a wonderful, experiential, enjoyable, huggable, kissable,
right.
Wonderful Christ that we can experience moment by moment, especially when we open to him and just tell him, oh, Lord Jesus, I need you. I love you. I tell you, at that moment, you will be in the heavenly electricity, the heavenly flowing of this marvelous Christ who is from God to us as wisdom.
It's good to pray, Dick. We find ourselves often in circumstances, situations that just are obviously beyond our capacity, our capability of really handling. Just to pray a simple prayer, Lord, I love you. Become my wisdom right now.
That's right.
And experience his becoming moment by moment.
That's right.
Thank you, Dick.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
We'll have you back. For Dick Taylor today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thanks very much for listening.